Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Fathers, we come before you this morning. Father, as we gather in just moments to hear your word proclaimed, I ask that you would once again be with our brother as he brings forth an utterance, that the mysteries of the gospel might be proclaimed. Father, that you may be laid before us, that your Son may be revealed to us, that your Spirit may give us understanding and teach us these things that we may have spiritual eyes to see, Father. We pray that you would do a work within us. Father, that you would not only just have this word proclaimed in truth and in power this morning and in love, to have your gospel brought forth, that, Father, that those that hear it would hear that sweet message, that it would strengthen them, Father, that it would deepen their profound love for you, that, Father, that we would grow, that, Father, we might see more of the power of the flesh for what it truly is, that, Father, that the flesh may be put down. Father, once again, we do pray for this time. We do ask for your hand of blessing upon it. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll read down through verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. Word of God says, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, 'What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place.' And they said, 'If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but anywise return him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you.' Then said they, 'What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?' And they answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. And ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off of you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed?" Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Just a little bit, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to witness 2 young ladies make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their King. These young ladies are going to go through many struggles and trials in their life. Job said, "As sparks fly upward, man is born into trouble." And if we're truly God's people, and if we're truly children of our King, of the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, we know something of trouble. We know something of trial, of temptation. We know something of warfare and wrestling. We know something about, I know you do if you know Christ. I know you do. The reason why I know that is because the Word of God reveals it all through the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says these words. The Apostle Paul writes, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but..." Now we can infer that wrestling is in this, so it's, "but we wrestle." See, there's not a question here of whether this is going to happen or not. This is going to happen. We wrestle. If it doesn't happen, I would have to say that there's very little evidence in your life that you know the Lord. Because if you know the Lord, there's going to be a wrestling in your life with the flesh. If there's peace, and you're constantly crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace, then the Spirit of the Lord is not there. The Spirit of the Lord speaks truth. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you ever wonder why it is that when you read about the Puritans, and I don't know, you may not have read about them, or you may not have read much about the early church, but you'll find that if you do read about them, they're constantly praying. They're a praying people. Scripture says, "Pray without ceasing." That's what Scripture says. It isn't something that we pray for 20 minutes and the flesh is up in arms. The flesh desires to stop this nonsense. Right? I was listening to a podcast the other day with Ethan. We were driving home. It was about the pilgrims as they were getting ready to make their travel across the ocean. They had been separated. The families had been separated. And it was interesting in this podcast, they were kind of had different places in the in this production of where they kind of went back into time, and you could hear what was going on in the church. And what the people were doing in the church as they were going through this great trial of being separated. I mean, these people knew something of trial. It was very near to them. It was very real to them. It was a physical thing that they were dealing with. They had a very good understanding because it was right there in front of them. There were principalities and powers, and these people were warring against them and taking them captive physically. But the one thing that struck me as I heard this podcast is listening to the men in this production pray. And it wasn't so much about the men praying. Yes, they were praying, I believe, in the spirit. But yet what really struck me about it was hearing the children crying. Isn't that interesting? I'll listen to some of my dad's old messages. And I'll hear me cry. I will. Sarah, do you hear us sometimes? You hear us crying and fussing and carrying on. This is New Testament Christianity. If you go to some church where they've sucked out real, okay, so they'll pull out the children, stick them in a room, they'll make a big production. You got lights and you got all these things going on, and it's really nice and it's all sensational and it's, you know, everything real is taken out of it. See, this is real Christianity. The children crying. You know what that should point us to? It should point us to what our flesh does. Now, we've grown up enough, most of us, as older people in the church, we've grown up enough to know we can't just kind of start bawling. If our rear ends are tired, pardon my language, but if they're tired because the seats are hard and stuff, we can't just start crying about it. I mean, wouldn't that be silly? I mean, we look at each other like, really? Come on now. I mean, grow up a little bit, right? But we'll sit there, though, and in the flesh, that's what we'll do. Do we hear ourselves crying? Do we hear ourselves fussy? You know why that's the case, right? It's because, just like we tell our kids, you don't have anything really to cry about. You don't have any real struggles to cry about. You have no trials. We're not down on our knees before God praying because we really have no reason to. That's why. You know why we have no reason to? It's because we're spiritually not meditating upon the Word of God and upon the true struggles that this church and the body faces. What those two little ones are going to face in their lives. That the devil is roaming up and down the aisles of this church, seeking whom he may devour. We don't even see it. We don't see it. We got too many things else going on in our heads. And we're too concerned about our rear ends and not concerned about the souls of those who sit in the seats. The early church was concerned. They had real struggles and real trial and real problems, and they came before God and they were begging God that they could just make it through the day. Dear God, don't let me fall. I know someone could come through that door and could take my little ones and could take me from them and put me in prison and stick me on a pole and light me on fire. I know that could happen today. Don't let me fall to this. But we don't see it happening in our families. We don't see it happening in our children. We don't see it happening in our lives. We don't understand. Because we don't understand the spiritual warfare that's going on. If we did, there wouldn't be so much crying. Our children don't understand warfare. They don't understand struggle yet. They don't understand what we're doing. It's normal for them to cry. I remember my own kids. They cried all the time. I mean, I know that. I understand that. There's not... I hope as young parents that you don't get discouraged by it. It's something that's going to take place. It's going to happen. But each time we hear them cry, I would hope that we would be spiritually minded enough to think of our flesh and how it hates these things. It's at enmity with God, and it wants nothing to do with this Bible. It wants nothing to do with the Word. It wants not to be brought under the subjection of this Word, see? The Spirit's going to fight against the flesh because the flesh is at enmity with God. Some would say, well, I believe I am walking by the Spirit, but yet there's disobedience and going against the revealed written Word of God in their lives. I would say you're walking by a false spirit. Because the true Spirit of God will lead us into the Word and we will be followers of it. The written Word of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Is this what we seek out? See, that what we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are we walking after the Spirit or after the flesh? We need to ask ourselves that. Are we wrestling with the Spirit? Okay, there's two ways we can do that. Number one, we can wrestle with the Spirit against the flesh. That's walking after the Spirit. Or we can be found wrestling with the Spirit by the flesh. See? You understand what I mean? So here's what we do. If we wrestle the flesh by the power of the Spirit, we open up the Word of God and we beg Him that He will take this Word and use it in our lives, that we might glean from it, study from it, find Christ in it, find our victory, find our strength, find our hope, find our peace. And that we would struggle against the flesh and we would see that warfare taking place in our lives. If we wrestle against the Spirit by the flesh, what we'll do is we'll close this book and we're going to set it over here and we're going to do everything we can to keep ourselves away from it. See? That's the difference. Are we walking after the flesh or after the Spirit? There is a warfare going on if you're a child of the King. There is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The apostle in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. He shows us what this is. He shows us what it looks like. So he talks about submissiveness. Let's just begin with verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do children of light walk? Well, we look into the Word of God to find that out. We walk after the Spirit, after the Word, after Christ, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that Word became flesh, John 1:14. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is there any of that found in our lives? Are we found proving what is acceptable unto the Lord? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, cautiously, wise. How do we do that? How do we walk circumspectly? Do we meditate upon the Word of God? Do we take time out of the day to meditate upon Christ and what He has done? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, not as fools, not as those that walk in the flesh, but as wise, as Christ. How do we find how Christ walks? By the Word. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Turn over to Colossians 4, verse 5 real quick. Let me show you what that means. We'll just use Scripture to reveal Scripture. It says in Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom towards them are without, them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, what is it? What are we doing when we walk after the Spirit in our lives? We're witnessing and bringing a testimony to those around us of the power of the Spirit in the lives of God's people. God will use that. He has chosen to use that. He has chosen to use the witness and the testimony of His people. We may look at the size of our congregation and question, really, are we being used? But I would ask you, if we go out from this place and redeem the time, redeem the time in our workplaces, redeem the time as we walk through our daily lives as Christians, redeem the time. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, not as though we are just following after the flesh. See, we're discipling people no matter what. You're discipling those around you. You younger people, we've talked about this before, but you're discipling your little brothers and your little sisters. You've made a profession of faith in the Lord and you walk as those that walk in the light. Oh, that we wouldn't understand this redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See, there's meditation. There's where meditating upon the things of the Lord comes in. Do you understand the days are evil? Do we see that? You say, well, I know the Democrats. Do we understand the days are evil? Do we see the Satan walking up and down the aisles? Do we see that? His desire to take captive. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There again, there are many that would ask this question. How am I supposed to know what the will of God is in my life? I want to know. Seems to be like a question that is asked a lot. I want to know what the will of God is. Well, I would ask, did you ever open this up? Have you tried that? I mean, I know what that says, but I want to know what the will of God is in my life. See the ridiculousness of that? That's not Christianity. If we ask a question, what is the will of God in our lives? We go to the answer. It's found in this book. But understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess. Why is it that we don't want to know what His will is? Because we want to be drunk with the wine of the world. And that's walking after the flesh. It's being led by the flesh. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why do we pray that the Spirit would fill this place? Do you know what a blessing it is that in our lives we even understand that we need the filling of the Spirit? It's the same thing with understanding what true wrestling is. It's a blessing to know that. It's a gift of God's grace that we understand what that is. Be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are many that would say that this filling right here is what takes place when we are born of the Spirit, or at regeneration. I believe that this is a filling of the Spirit that takes place in our lives after that. I believe that there is a being born of the Spirit of God. But yet in our lives, there are special fillings of the Spirit of God. The only way we would deny that is to not know those times. Oh, that we would be filled with the Spirit of God. That we would understand our need of it. That we would understand the importance of it. The preciousness of it. That we would seek it out above all things in our lives. That we would be like the children of Israel found in our text when they cried, Ichabod, the glory of God has departed from this place. See, there's something there they see, they know. They know something of the glory of God and they see that it is departed from them. And they desire to have it back. And they seek out in their lives why it is that it has departed. Oh, that we would be spiritually minded. We would meditate upon these things. We'd think of them. Now listen to verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is really good. When I was a kid, I used to look at this verse and I would think, well, I guess we should just walk around and sing all the time. Well, I think this has a deeper meaning than that. I believe that when it says speaking to yourself, it's preaching to yourself. It could be singing. I think a great example of this is when we look at the Psalms and we see David and we see him singing these hymns. But what is David doing when he sings these hymns? A lot of times we look at the Psalms and we say, well, David is going through a great trial here and he's in deep depression and he's down and he just can't. Or is it that he's meditating? Let me put this to you and I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's say I was sitting in my chair in my room and I was just contemplating, meditating upon the Word of God. And I would say, and my children would hear me say, as they walk by me, and I say it with a smile on my face, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And they would look at me and say, Dad, are you all right? Has he forsaken you, Dad? Why? Why is he forsaken? Why are you smiling when you say it? Well, because I'm singing. I'm preaching to myself. I'm singing what Christ said on the cross of Calvary because it's everything to me. He was forsaken by the Father in my place. That's precious to me. That's what I rejoice in. I'll sing it. Can we sing that? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can we sing it and walk up and down with joy in our hearts singing that? Oh, that we would be found as David, speaking to ourselves, preaching. Meditating upon the words of Christ, rejoicing in them. Why did he say these things? And what does it mean to me? How does it reveal the obedience of Christ? How does it reveal his perfect submission to the will of God? See, this is what Ephesians 6 is all about. It's in 5. It's revealing to us Christ's submission. And how in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, this is what we must do. We must submit ourselves to God. How does that look? How does that look in the body? How is it worked out in the body? Well, we see it in the text. We see that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We see children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We see in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, submitting yourselves. He's talking to the whole of the body. One to another in the fear of God. All this submissiveness going on. What is this all about? Well, I believe what Ephesians 6, verse 12 is all about is that we understand that sin in our lives and transgression against the Word of God in our lives is submissiveness to the devil. You see what I mean? You're either submissive to God or you're submissive to the devil. See, that's the trouble with the fall. That's what happened at the fall. You see, everybody's always saying, well, how could God have damned the whole of the human race because Adam partook of some fruit? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That's not what he did. Yes, that is what he did, but it's not exactly what he did. What he did was he submitted to Satan. He went after what Satan said to do. He did not submit himself to God. He submitted himself unto Satan, see? And that's what we do when we transgress against the Word of God. This is why we must wrestle. This is why we must see the importance of wrestling and how that Satan and the flesh and the world are warring against God, and they want nothing more than for God's people to be walking after the flesh in submissiveness to Satan and not unto Christ. This is what we need to understand about the Christian warfare. We need to be able to see this, to discern it in our lives. The evidences of this going on in our lives. How we are so quick to put aside the Word of God and to walk after the things of the world. Are we discerning enough to see that and to war against it? Because there's got to be a war against it. There's got to be a fight against it. A struggle against it. That's the working of the Spirit in our lives. And so Paul goes on and he explains to us what is happening here. That we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, we're wrestling with demonic things. We're wrestling with the devil and all of his cohorts. We're wrestling against that, is what we're wrestling against. Wherefore, he says, because of this, because you have no strength over this, not in and of yourselves. So we can beat that. We can beat it. No, not apart from the Spirit of Christ, you're not going to beat it. You won't even know it's there. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. I was reading, and Jessica's reading, The Holy War. And as she reads, she kind of reads it to me. And it was very interesting, and I brought it up, I think, last week, about how that we change the names of things in our lives. And how deceitful the heart really is. And how it longs to get back under the rule and the reign of Satan. To be submissive to him. That's what the flesh wants. It desires. And so what happened in the Holy War is that when Diabolos is trying to get back in to man's soul. Now we know for God's people that's impossible. God's people are going to be saved. I was prayed this morning that these little ones, that the Lord would work in them, and he will until the end. And when they stand before God, it will be finished. And we'll see it. They will be just like their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the case for God's elect. But yet, he speaks of Diabolos, or Satan, sending back in certain messengers or certain ones that would be useful in bringing man's soul back under subjection to Diabolos, which in the Holy War is Satan. And so he sends in covetousness. But he says, you don't go in as covetousness. What you go in at is prudent, thrifty. That's how you go in. So what you do is you go present yourself as prudence and thriftiness. See? You change your name. Then they will be confused by it. And they'll take you in. And they'll walk after you. Oh, there's so much there. Lasciviousness. He sends him in. And he says, you go in, but you don't call yourself lasciviousness. You call yourself harmless mirth. And he says to anger, he says, anger, you go in, but don't tell him your anger. You call yourself good zeal. That's what you call yourself. You see how easy it is? How easy we are confused? It takes meditation upon the Word of God. It takes study of the Word of God and sitting and chewing on these things and praying over them. Do we think about that throughout the week when we go through day by day by day without really getting into the Word or praying? Oh, that we would wrestle. We would be found wrestling. Now turn back over to 1 Samuel 6. Because I believe what this speaks to me of is it's a picture of what the flesh is going to do with the Word of God, with the Spirit, what it desires to do. And we must, as God's people, prayerfully consider this. Think about it in our lives. Question, is this what we do? Is this what we desire to be done with God's working in our lives? With when it's evident that all things work together for good to them that love God. See? But do we desire for the good gifts of God, which are infirmities? Those are good gifts of God in our lives. You say, well, how do you know that? Because all things work together for good. They're good gifts to us. They lead us to our strength, which is Christ. And so I want us to really, when we look at these things, to think of the war and the warfare and the struggle and the hope that comes from seeing Christ, our strength. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And we're just going to stop there for a second because we're going to think of that word seven for a minute. All through the scripture, the number seven is the number of completion. There's 7 days in a week, right? The Lord created the heavens and the earth and all that we see in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Jacob serving Laban, served him for 7 years. There's seven churches in the book of Revelation. There's seven loaves. Seven baskets were taken up. Infinite, complete pardon that is found in the Word of God is 70 times 7. Joshua marching around Jericho. How many times did he march around? He marched around for 7 days, didn't he? Marched around Jericho. And we see that the stronghold falling down. And we talked about that last week, how it is that in our lives, it's the pulling down of strongholds in our life. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord does in our lives, in the working in our lives through the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians real quick. Let me show you Paul. Paul's going to teach this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now the Lord is sovereign, and he works perfectly in all things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the apostle, well, let's just start in verse 6. He says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool or walk after the flesh and desiring of these things. But I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." You say, Paul wrestled and he struggled? Well, yes. Yes. And he was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. To buffet. How did he know it was a messenger of Satan? How did he know it was buffeting him? How did he know anything about this? I would imagine it's because Paul was one who meditated. And he prayed. And he sought the Lord. We know that. Oh, that we would see this in our lives. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. That it might depart from me. What was he asking of the Lord? He was asking that the Lord, if it be his will. I believe this is what the apostle is saying here. If it is your will, Lord, take it from me. Take this thorn in my flesh from me. If it be thy will. I don't believe that Paul would be one who would be looking for ways outside of the Word of God to try to get away from this thorn. See, that's what we do a lot of times, isn't it? This is what the flesh will do all the time. The flesh will have a thorn come in it, and it will say, we've got to get rid of this. We've got to get rid of it now. We don't want this pain. I don't want this trial. I don't want this in my life. I've got to get rid of it. We see this with the Philistines. What do they want to do? They just want to get it out. They want to get rid of it. It was a pain in their backsides. And they wanted to get rid of it. God's people, those who meditate upon the Word of God, those who consider and pray, they desire that God's will would be done in their lives and that God would continue the work. If it be your will, take it from me. And this is what Paul would say. And he says in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, this is God speaking to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak in the flesh, then I am strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Turn over to Philippians 4:13 real quick. Philippians 4:13. We're almost done. Philippians 4 Verse 13. I would hope that it would bring new meaning to what this verse means. The apostle says, I can do all things. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. Prayer. Can we pray? Well, we think sometimes we can pray in the flesh. We find out differently, don't we? But we can pray in Christ. We can pray in Christ. When we see Christ's hands lifted up to heaven and interceding on our behalf, and we pray in him, knowing that we have the petitions to be heard, because we pray in Christ. Discipleship. Redeeming the time. This is something that we can do in Christ. In Christ. If Christ is seen in us, then the time will be redeemed. If we are seen bowing before him. Love. Love can be seen. In Christ. In Christ. Hope. I can't hope. Well, you can hope in Christ. You can hope in him. See, that's what being made weak in the flesh will reveal. That our strength is found in Christ. In our union with him. Preaching. You don't know how many times I get up in front of you and I just don't think there's no way. There's no way. I am so stupid. In and of myself, I am so stupid. I'm going to admit it. But Christ is my strength. And in the weakness of this flesh, I'm made strong in Christ. I know that's where my strength lies. It's in him. living? Or some would say, I don't have the strength to live another day. Well, in the flesh you don't, but in Christ you do. In Christ you do. Dying? Ah, we all might say, oh, I've got the strength to die. Well, one day we're going to face it. And we're all going to face death. We're all going to lie on that bed and we're going to face death. I would ask you, are you going to have the strength to face it? Are you going to have the strength to face it, knowing that we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Do you meditate upon that? Do you think about it throughout the day? Do you ask yourself, do I have the strength to die? Well, you do if you're in Christ. I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, when we look back at this text in 1 Samuel chapter 6, and the ark of the Lord is in the country of the Philistines 7 months, number of completion. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners. We'll just go to this verse and then we'll wait till next week and go on. They went to the priests and the diviners, saying, and there it is, there's a perfect picture of what the flesh is going to do. It's going to go to anything but the Word of God. It's going to go to the world. It's going to seek the wisdom of the world. It's going to try to figure out what they're to do. What's the smart thing to do? That's what we want to know. We want to know what the smart thing to do is. So let's go to the world and try to find it out. That's what the flesh will do. But the Spirit, see, there's evidences of walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh. Walking after the Spirit, what is the smart thing to do for me as God, one of God's children? I'm going to the Word. I'm going to seek it. I'm going to seek it out in prayer and meditation and study of the Word of God. That we might think about this. What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? What shall we do to it? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And I would ask you this week to be in meditation and to think about what we do with this. What do we do with it? Is there a battle in our lives? And it's evident in our lives that we want to get rid of this. We don't desire to have this around because it condemns us. Well, it's going to make you mad before it makes you glad. And it's going to have to kill you in order to make you alive. Comfort ye, my people, is not taking this and throwing it out. That's not where you're going to find. You're going to find comfort in here. You're going to find comfort finding Christ. You've got to find him. And that's what these little ones are making a profession of this morning. They're professing they found their all in Christ. And this book right here, this word is going to be, it is Christ in their lives, and it is their rule of life, and they believe that their King is revealed in this book. And if there is things in their life they have question about, they are professing this morning that they're going to go right here to find out what the answer is. That's what you're professing, little ones. That's what all of us have professed. Oh, that we might be spiritually minded enough to see where it is in our lives. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of different areas in our lives. Don't compartmentalize your life and saying that this morning I'm sitting in the worship of God and so I'm a Christian. And glory in that. No, understand that throughout that every aspect of your life, Christianity is there. And that Christ must be in every part of it. That's true Christianity. And so if there's one area in your life where you're throwing this out, I pray that God would allow you to see it for Christ's sake. Amen.